All right. So going back to our little web page. So I've added a couple of things on here. I added the picture of the continuing studies logo, and then I added a picture of the Stanford University logo. When you're crafting your alt, again, the best way to craft your alt is to take a look at it, pretend you're talking to your friend, describing to your friend over the phone what that photo looks like or what that picture looks like. I usually also like to put in like a one-word descriptor of what the thingy is. So in this case, I've chosen the word logo because it's a logo. So I said logo of Stanford and logo of continuing studies. If it's a photo, I usually say photo of whatever it is. And you don't have to, but I find it user-friendly then towards the blind person so that they know what it's all about. And so by adding these photos in here, if I go back and I hit reload, I should have my continuing studies and my Stanford University pictures on my web page. One thing you may have noticed is that I included the height and width attributions. You can do this either in the cascading style sheet and or in the HTML. Generally, it's better to do it in the CSS because we're talking about height and width, which is a look and feel type thing, but you could also do it in the actual HTML. Why should you put in the height and width? The reason that you want to put in the height and width is that any time that you go to a web page, the web browser needs to draw the content on the screen for you. And if the web browser doesn't know how big that picture is, it will wait until it downloads that entire picture. So if you've ever been to a web page and you were waiting for the content to appear, and there was like a big picture on that web page, and you were waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for that picture to load, and then finally the picture loaded, and then you were able to see the rest of the content, the reason that happened is because the web developer did not specify the height and width of the image. Had they specified the height and width of the image, then the browser would have drawn a box where the image would go, put in the rest of the content, and then the picture would load afterwards. So including heights and widths will make the experience seem to go faster to your audience, even though it really happens at exactly the same rate of speed. They're able to do something while they're waiting for the pictures to load. So the reason that stuff happens in blocks, it goes back to TCP/IP. So it's all because the pictures are actually chopped up into little pieces and they get sent off and then they come back together as they're going along, and it just happens to be that the parts that you're seeing at the time that you're seeing it is being loaded. So one of the tricks that you can do on a picture is you can do what's called slicing an image. And if you take an image and you chop that, you literally slice it into 1,000 pieces, then the time it takes for each one of those 1,000 sliced picture is how long the entire image is going to take to load. Because each one is sent separately and then put back together. And so if you take like a picture that normally would take up, I don't know, a megabyte, and you chop it up into 1,000,000 pieces, each one is going to be like slightly more maybe than a byte. And that means that megabyte picture will take about the same time as it takes to load a single byte because you chopped it up and put it back together. Now, the problem with doing that, of course, is that you have to actually slice it up and that's time-consuming and it's not very efficient, especially since these days most people have, you know, pretty high-speed internet access, even on phones. So the value of slicing has greatly diminished over the past 20 years, but you still could if you wanted to. But you should always put in the height and height and width. That is one of the things that you should always do. All right. So I talked a little bit about editing your photos, and I showed you a little bit in Photoshop how you could do it. You absolutely do not need to have expensive software in order to do this. Some of the best image editing tools are available on the web for free. My favorite these days is actually a program called PixLR. It's at pixlr.com. It's fantastic. Another really good one, photoflexer.com. I like them both. So if I go to like PhotoFlexer, it's PhotoFlexer, and I open up a picture, either one that is on the default or one that I upload myself. I can, after it decides to load, I can show you. There it goes. So if I took this picture of the Golden Gate Bridge and I wanted to crop it, I could click on a crop and I could crop out the part that I want. And then I click on to crop selected area. And then I could go in on effects. And I could blur the edges on it and apply more blurring on it or whatever it is that I might want to do. And then I could take this and say that that's exactly how I want it to look. And I click on to save and I tell it to save it to my computer. And I click on to save now, and I could then save this picture onto my computer. So while you absolutely can use expensive tools like Photoshop, which allows you to do, you know, whole bunches of stuff that you can do with it, if you want to do pretty much basic image editing, then I would use a tool like PhotoFlexer. And if you really wanted to do more advanced things, I would use PixLR. PixLR actually has even more stuff that you can do on the web application part of it. So if I click on the launch web app, it's called PixLR Express, and allows you to then either upload a picture or open a picture that's already there. So if I open up the church painting, here's the church painting, and I can click on to adjustments, and there are all these different adjustments. So liquify allows me to go whoosh and whoosh and whoosh to the picture, or I can go in on the focal point of it, and I could change what the focal point is so that it looks like it's like we're focusing in on that center. I mean, there's all sorts of cool things that you can do. $0. So I'm not saying don't get Photoshop, except I'm just saying that there are alternatives that are out there that you could use. If you want to make a picture into a background, a couple of things to keep in mind. The first thing is that the syntax for doing it is, if you're using cascading style sheets, which is the way you should do it, is that you put in the selector. So if you're wanting the whole web page to be the back, to have this picture as the background, you would do body. If you want a particular section to have a background, you could create a class or an ID. And then it is background colon literally the letters URL parentheses, and then the location of wherever that picture is located. Close parentheses, semicolon. So, for example, let's say that I want this picture. So I copy my address and I go into my Notepad and I'm going to open up my style sheet. And I'm going to say that I want the background to be the URL of this. Any picture can be used as a background picture. There are some that are going to look better than others, but anything can be used as a background. Let's see here. Oh, because I forgot to put in a close quote, or close parentheses. So what happens is that by default, content is going to tile all the way across and all the way down to fill up the whole page. If you want it to only tile in one direction or the other, you can say repeat hyphen X, and if I do repeat hyphen X, then it only repeats across the top. If I say repeat hyphen Y, then it's only going to repeat down the side. And if I say no hyphen repeat, then it is only going to show the first time. But by default, it's going to tile all the way across and all the way down to fill up the whole page. So, like I said, there are some pictures that are better than others. Another probably not great choice would be something like this. If I go into Stanford group, CSP, CS21, images, su.gif. Tell it to repeat, because I want it to repeat. Yeah, things like this. You want to have high contrast between the background color, between the background and the foreground. So doing something like this makes it really, 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 really hard to read. So you want to make sure that your pictures are in high contrast with your text. Yes. Right. You don't need to specify the dimensions because it's not actually loading the picture. It's loading the picture as a background. So the example that I have in there is bg.gif. And bg.gif is kind of an okay background. Makes it easier to read. Now, one of the things that you should know about backgrounds is that you'll notice that I'm still putting in the word green. And yet, when I load it, it doesn't show up as a green background. So why would I want to have the green? And if I hit reload really fast, then you'll notice that it's there. It's going green and stuff. One of the biggest mistakes that web developers make is they use a background image And then they don't put in a color to go along with it. Why? What would be the negative ramifications of not putting in a color with this web page? Yeah. Okay, so the picture doesn't load. That's exactly right. So if the picture doesn't load, something bad is going to happen. What bad thing is going to happen? That is exactly the problem. So one of the biggest issues that I see in web development is that I see a lot of people using dark background graphics, things that are like black or gray or charcoal and whatever. And so because of that, they put their text as like yellow or white or soft gray or something like that. And there's nothing wrong with that, as long as the image always loads. But if the image doesn't load, what that means is that the visitor is going to see yellow on white or white on white. And you get the old proverbial polar bear in the snowstorm, where you can't see anything at all. And so towards that end, it's always a good idea to include the color first and then the picture, so that if the picture doesn't load, at least the color will make it so the visitors will be able to read whatever it is that's on there. Yeah. Can you do a relative link on the background? Absolutely. Absolutely, you can do a relative link. All right, so there were a couple of other changes that I wanted to make on this. I called them, the miscellaneous changes. And it was that I wanted to force images to not have a border, so I say border of none. And that I wanted to define what promote means. So I'm defining promote as being text align of center, so it gets centered. Background of yellow, so that it's a yellow background, and that it has a dotted border. So the border is 1 pixel dotted and black. It doesn't mean anything. It's a class that I created. And where it comes in is because I created a div that I gave a class of promote. And so what will happen now is down at the bottom, we have what I called the promoted area. Because I created it as a class, it means I could use it throughout the entire web page. So if I wanted something else to be promoted as well, I could go into this anchor tag and I could say class equals promote. And now the words Stanford University are going to be promoted. Or about this site I could promote. Or this paragraph I could promote. Or this EM stuff I could promote. Or whatever it is that I wanted to promote. And I used the word promote, but it could have been called Stinky Boy. As long as I define it as dot stinky boy. The name that you use in your class just needs to match. Now, for human reasons, I would recommend using something that makes sense, so I would not actually use stinky boy. I think that would probably not be a very useful thing. I would use something like promote, you know, for stuff that you're promoting. But as far as the browser is concerned, it could be named whatever you want as long as it matches. All right, so the last thing I wanted to say tonight is that your homework this week is to really start thinking about pictures that you might want to use in your for your final project and for your web stuff, and either start obtaining permission to use the images if you're going to use other people's images, or if you're going to take your own images, then, you know, give yourself permission to use your own pictures and that kind of stuff. And what we'll do next week is we're going to talk about image maps. So image maps are any time that you want to have more than one link on a single picture. It's called an image map. The most obvious example of this is in Facebook. So in Facebook, if you take a photo and you tag the photo, you can tag, like, this is Bob, and that's Jane, and this is Fred, and that's Sally. And the way that you do that is by creating an image map around Bob and Sally and so on. And I'm going to show you how to do that. So we'll talk all about how to do Facebook next week. The other thing we'll do next week is we'll talk a little bit about sound and video. And we'll also talk a little bit about lists and why lists are so important. And if we have time, we'll talk about tables and email newsletters. So that's kind of the plan for what we'll do next week. Any last second questions that people have? All right, that's the end of the stuff that we wanted to talk about tonight. So we'll have a great week, and we'll see you next time.